Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Yud Ches. We're holding approximately 8 lines from the top of the Amud, where the middle of the line begins with Savar Reb Yehuda Lohaniach Midomoy Lemachar Divrei HaKoil. So you'll recall, we ended off yesterday's daf saying that there's a three-way machlokes. Legabi which din? Legabi the din, if a Kohen, whilst he was doing one of the four avoidais, instead of having your typical machshava, either to go and eat lemoshel from the shirayim tomorrow, or to go and be makter the ketoyres tomorrow, or whatever, what happens if he had a machshava lohaniach midomai lemachar, instead of doing the zrikas hadam today? He didn't say we're all going to do the zrikas hadam tomorrow, but rather he had a machshava, a dibur of lohaniach midomai lemachar. We're going to leave the blood, or at least some of the blood, for tomorrow. What's the din in that case? Does it become puzzle? Does it become piggle? Or is it nothing? So we had a three-way machlokes. As you remember, if you take a look at Yud Zayin Amid Beis, the last two lines, V'acha Gimel Machlokes B'Dover, a three-way machlokes. Tanakama Sav B'Hanoch Pligi Lohaniach Divya Kol Kosher. Top of the Amid Rabbi Yehuda Sav B'Hanoch Pligi Lohaniach Divya Kol Pasul. And then finally, we had the third view, which was Rebbe Lazar, about 5 lines in. In the case of Lohaniach, it's a machlokes. So, if the Kohen has in mind, Bishas, one of the four avoiders, Lohaniach midomoy lemachar, according to one interpretation, it's Divri HaKoil. Everybody agrees it's kosher. According to Rebbe Yehuda, no. In fact, everybody holds that it's possible. And then Rebbe Lazar says it's a machlokes between Rebbe Lazar and the Chacham. But now let's go to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is at the very top line, repeated again here on the 7th or 8th line, that what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? That when it comes to Lohaniach, Divrei HaKoil Posel, Freik Tigmara, is that what Rabbi Yehuda really holds? Vatanya, I'll show you from a braisa that Rabbi Yehuda paskined at one time on this Shaila, and he didn't say Divrei HaKoil Posel. You're really weird. Tanya. Now the Gemara is going to bring us a fascinating story, which is going to take us from here till the new Mishnah down below. The first part, about the first 3/4, is going to be a Braisa, and then the Gemara is going to bring a Raya from that Braisa to what Rabbi Yehuda really holds by Lohaniach. So the Braisa tells us the following story. Amar Rebbe, kishalachti lematzois midoisai eitzel Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua, the Amrila lematzois midoisav shel Rebbe Lozer ben Shamua. What type of expression is that? Lematzois midoisai. So this is an expression which really is borrowed from a different type of situation. Which means, if you have a mocher who is selling liquid to a kone, to a lokeach, it's not like today that you come into the store and everything is already pre-bottled and you buy the bottle with whatever mashke is inside. But rather, it used to be that the mocher had these very large barrels, and from the barrels, if a kone would come in and say, I'd like to have a quart of this, or I'd like to have a gallon of this, then the mocher would have a measuring utensil in which he would go and measure the quarter, the pint, the gallon, or whatever. And then he would say, okay, lokeach, did you bring along your own container? Of course. Takes it out, and you pour it from the measuring cup, measuring container, into lokeach's container, and then you make your sale. What happens if you are selling not water or milk or wine, but you're selling oil? So as you know, when you're selling oil, oil takes, because of its viscosity, it takes much longer for all of it to drain and to leave the pouring cup and enter into the final cup. So someone who is very scrupulous and very honest, what he's going to go and tell the lokeach is, here, the measuring cup is full of the gallon of oil that you've asked for. I'm going to pour it over into your container, but it's going to take a long time until it all drains into your container. If you don't mind, leave your container here and come back in an hour, and then hopefully all of the shemen, all of the oil will have drained from the measuring utensil into your container where we're pouring that gallon or whatever of shemen. So the words lematzos midosai, we have the concept of matzos, or the word matzos, when we talk about, for instance, by the hazo'o and the mitzoy of the chatas o'if, or the mitzoy by the oilas o'if. Mitzoy means to give a kvetch, to go and kvetch the beis hatzavar against the wall of the mizbeach, to get out some of the dam for purposes of the so-called zrika sadam by oifis. It's not a zrika, it's more of a mitzoy. You squeeze it out. So here also you're trying to squeeze out and drain that very last drop of shemen from the mita. So that's an expression. I mean, that's what you would say if you're talking about trying to drain all of the liquid in the mita. But what does it have to do with over here? Over here, if you look at the Rashi, five lines from the top, lematzis midoisai, leida mitzui talmudai velishos fekoisai. I want to go and fetch out and drain all of my Talmud learning to be able to go and find out from Rabbi Zalman Shemua the answers to all those sveikis that I've had over the years. I've been learning Shas for so many years, Rebbe says, and I've had so many questions and so many issues. I'm coming now to Rabbi Zalman Shemua. Rabbi Zalman Shemua is the famous Tana Rebbe Elazar, who is a Talmud of Rebbe Kiva. So I'm going to ask him to go and answer all of my open shaylas. I was never able to come down bottom line, yon nisht, how do we paskin, how do we learn, etc. So this is the first version, lematzis midoisai, to drain my midois, to kvetch out, to squeeze out all of my midois, to come down to the bottom line on all of my sveikas. The Amri law, but there's another version, lematzis midoisav shoblazim in shemua, meaning I heard Rabbi Shlomo ben Shemua is the Gadol Hador, that great, great Talmud scholar, so I want to go and learn from him all of his halachas and all of his sveikos and how he decided every case. And that's the next Rashi, lematzos midoisav, lilmoid ulematzos masher Rabbi Lazar chochem imeni. I know that Rabbi Shlomo ben Shemua is greater than me, says Rebbe Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and therefore I want to learn from him all of those midos and all of those toirais that I don't know. Okay, they're both very, very similar in terms of I want to know the bottom line on Torah, and he's the greatest poisek and the greatest godel, and I'm going to him. Fine. So now, after this nice introduction, Rebbe says, I came there to Rabbi Zalman Shemua, and Matzasi Yosef HaBavli Yoshev Lefanev. And I saw Yosef HaBavli sitting there in front of Rabbi Zalman Shemua with tremendous respect, awe and reverence for his Rebbe from Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua, v'yachoviv loy biyoyser adli achas. V'yachoviv loy biyoyser, Rashi has two interpretations. Both of them mean that one was beloved by the other. The question is, who was beloved? If you look at the Rashi, v'yachoviv yoysef l'Rabbi Lozer, that means Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua. It says v'sifroi, on the side it says v'sivivoi b'halochois, because Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua loved Yosef HaBavli, and apparently Yosef HaBavli was a tremendous Baal Kishroin, so Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua would go and surround him with halachas, in other words, teach him another halacha, and another mishnah, another gemara, and another rambam, and etc., etc. Ad shegiyoi lehalacha achas shel zvachim, until we came to, like the gemara says, ad la'achas, we came to this final halacha that we're going to discuss momentarily. So therefore, the chov means that Yosef HaBavli was beloved to Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua. Loshen acher v'yechoviv liYosef kol mash Rabbi Lozer melamdoi. See, here Rashi doesn't say that Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua was beloved to Yosef HaBavli. It could be that Rashi feels that that would be somewhat inappropriate to go and say that the Rebbe was beloved to the Talmud. And therefore, he says that the tremendous Torah and Chachma that Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua had, that was beloved to the Talmud, Yosef HaBavli, that sat there in respect and in awe of his great Rebbe, Rabbi Lozer. Nochemu, Loshenach, v'yechov of liyosef kol mashir Rabbi Lozer milamdoi. Everything that he's taught him, it has been beloved to him, all of those Torahs, in multiple volumes of Svarim that Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua taught him, Chidushim and Halachas, at Shekil Halacha Achas, until we came now to the next Halacha, which the Gemara is going to describe. So Ad La'achas, according to both Pshatim, means that we're about to hit that Halacha that is now the focus of our Gemara. Tosis, however, learns a little bit differently. If you look at the second Tosis, Ad Achas, B'Megillas Storim, the Rabbeinu Nisim, Goris, he has a different kirsa, not ad achas, but ad liachas. Pirish ad mo'oid, kinema karminan, mo'oid lachda. That the word mo'oid in Targum Loshen is lachda. So here too, when it's achas, is like lechad, to one. Oh, so based on this, this is a description of the tremendous love that either Reb Lozim and Shemua had for his Talmud Yosef HaBavli, or that Yosef HaBavli had for the tremendous learning that Reb Lozim and Shemua had educated him and had shared with him, Adli Achas, no description. It was indescribable, ma'oid, ma'oid, tremendous, tremendous chavivas. Okay, what is this halacha Achas in Zvachim that we're now focusing on? Guess what? Oh, Omaloi Rebbe, Omaloi, this is Yosef HaBavli now addressing his Rebbe, Reb Lozim ben Shemua, and he's saying, this is, Rebbe is the one that's telling the story. So this is a monologue on the part of Rebbe, but Rebbe himself doesn't get involved in the story. He's just like, if you will, the witness, like the tape recorder. He's just recording for us the story that happened. So Omaloi, so Yosef HaBavli said, Rebbe, meaning Reb Lozim ben Shemua, HaShoichet es HaZebach L'haniach Midom L'machar. Oh, that's our case. That's the achas that we are concerned with in our Gemara. Mau, what's the halacha? Is that a machshavas pigel? Is it a machshavas posel? Or is it a machshavas kosher? Alts is good. That's what he asked Reb Lozim ben Shemua, and we'll see that this is something that was bothering Yosef HaBavli, and apparently he couldn't sleep over it, because he asked him a number of times, Mau, what's the din? Om Maloi, Reb Lozim ben Shemua says, kosher. Nothing to worry about. It's kusha v'yusha. It's fine. Why? Because that's not an expression of achila, it's not an expression of haktorah, and therefore there's no pigel. Pigel is by him hey ochel ye ochel. Oh, achilas odom achilas mizbeach. But it doesn't say anything about hinuach, putting something away. This is kusha. But he wasn't satisfied. Arvis omoloi, in the evening he asked him again, Rebbe, remind me, what's the halacha by lahaniach lemachar? So he said it's kusha. Next morning, Shachar's Umale, Rebbe, tell me, what's the loch alagabi l'haniach midom alamachar? He said, it's kusha. Notice Reb Lozim ben Shemua had infinite patience, because normally, by the time somebody asked me the first time, I'm already going crazy. By the second time, I go berserk. And he kept saying, kusha, no problem. Tzarayim Umale, now it's midday, it's lunchtime. He asked him, what's the din by l'haniach midom alamachar? It's kusha. Mincha, now it's later in the afternoon. Umale, kusha. But the first time now he says, Ella Shirbelezer Poisel. In other words, the halacha is that's kosher. And I've told you this already 3 or 4 times. But since you're being so persistent, I want you to know there is a dissident known as Rebelezer, and he holds that it's possible. Remember, he holds from Achilles Adam, Achilles Mizbeach, Achilles Mizbeach, Achilles Adam. So therefore, as far as he's concerned, it's Poisel. However, the halacha is that it's kosher. This is the final time that Yosef HaBavli asked him this question, and now Yosef HaBavli broke out in a smile that went from one side of the world to the other. Tzavu ponav shel Yosef HaBavli, wow, smile from ear to ear, and from here to there. He was so happy. Omaloi, Reb Lozim and Shmuel was kind of stunned by this huge amount of excitement and happiness, and he said, Yosef, this is the first time I see such a broad smile on your face. It looks like that until now, you were not always in sync with me on all of our shmuas, meaning on all of our kimoris, all of our halachas, that you had a difference of opinion. And all of a sudden, for the first time, shee, what a smile that lights up the world. Omaloi. So now Yosef HaBavli says to Reb Lozim ben Shemua, Rebbe, Hain, no, you're mistaken. In fact, every one of the Shemuais was exactly the way I understood the Gemara. I appreciated every halacha that you taught me, and I agreed with everything that you taught me because I felt that you were absolutely perfect in everything that you ever said. Ah, you're wondering, how come now I'm giving this broad smile? Ella, because I, Yosef HaBavli, before I enrolled in your yeshiva, Reb Lozim ben Shemua, I previously learned by Reb Yehuda in his yeshiva. And Reb Yehuda had said, Pasul Shonali. He taught me on this halacha about Lohaniach that it's Pasul. V'chazarti al kol talmidav. And I Yosef HaBavli was nervous that maybe I misunderstood or maybe I had a wrong recollection. So therefore I went to all of the Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda, Ubikashali Chaver, and I asked every one of them, can you remind me what's the din by Lohaniach? And nobody was able to go and say to me, yes, Rabbi Yehuda Paskin, that it's possible. And therefore, I was quite upset. Rashi says, Vayisi misiyore shema shachachti. I was concerned that maybe I'm starting to forget my learning. And therefore, I was really upset. Asha, but now, Shishanisali possible, that you told me that Rabbi Lezer says that it's possible. I feel so good now, Baruch Hashem. I have not forgotten my learning. So Reb Lozer ben Shmuel was so impressed with Yosef HaBavli's sincerity in trying to understand and remember the Torah Kedosha, Zolgu Einav Demoish Reb Lozer ben Shmuel. The Rebbe started crying that his Talmud Yosef HaBavli took learning so seriously that he wanted to remember every diktuk of possible in the Torah and Chas V'Shalom not to forget anything and to remember everything. There's a famous story about Reb Moshe Zatzal that he was together in the sukkah with Reb Tuvia Goldstein. Reb Tuvia Goldstein was one of his Talmidim, and Reb Tuvia Goldstein himself afterwards became a great poisik and a great Talmud Chochem. And so years later, after he's become this great poisik, they were sitting together in the sukkah and they were having a discussion about a particular halacha. And Reb Moshe voiced his opinion. Reb Tuvia Goldstein voiced his opinion. And Reb Tuvia Goldstein said, "What's the Chabaferish Toisvis in Bava Kama on Daf Mem Aleph?" And Reb Moshe says, "No, I think you're wrong. I think it's on Mem Beis." He said, "No, Rebbe, so it's Mamoy Chazan. It's definitely Mem Aleph. It's the bottom Toisvis, the Amid Beis." Okay, so Reb Moshe was quiet. About a half an hour later, in the middle of the Suda, Reb Moshe unexpectedly leaves the sukkah for about 10 minutes, and he comes back. And then, well, he had to go out. But afterwards, he confided in his Talmidim that he went to go and check out the Gemara to make sure whether it was Mem Aleph or Mem Beis. And in fact, it was on Mem Beis, as he, Reb Moshe, said, and not Reb Tuvia Goldstein. So the Talmidim asked, "Rebbe, why did you have to?" "Well, big deal. It's Mem Aleph, Mem Beis, Mem Aleph. You know, you have to leave the Sukkot and go." Presumably, he'll say to go up five flights and walk down five flights.
Lower east side.
And you got to go lower and lower, lower east side. Yeah. Where's Shelley? Anyway, the point of it is, he said, so the Talmidim asked, "Why are you so concerned?" He says, "Because most of the Shailas that he paskins is based on his memory. And he had a phenomenal memory of the Gan Shas and Gan Shulchan Aruch and Gan Torah and Rambam. If I start erring, that means that I'm no longer sure about any psak halacha, because maybe what I'm saying is wrong. Maybe it doesn't say kosher, maybe it says posel, maybe it says posel, says kosher. So I was very, very nervous about it. So therefore I had to go up and check to make sure, Baruch Hashem, it was the toisus was on Mem Beis and not Mem Aleph. I feel now secure in my paskening shaylus that Baruch Hashem, my memory is still working and it's still intact." So Talmidim asked, "How come you didn't go immediately?" Because he didn't want Reb Tuvia to think that he's second-guessing him and trying to question him. So he didn't want to, you know, disturb his covid. So that's why he only went to half an hour later. But now that he looked it up, Baruch Hashem, he feels good that, in fact, he was right. And that exactly with it. And he didn't say anything to Reb Tuvia Goldstein. Geschwing, quiet. But therefore, that's why we see Yosef HaBavli was so happy. Like Rashi says, "Well, you see, Messiore Shem Shachachti was so nervous, maybe I forgot." And Reb Lozer ben Shmuel was so impressed with his Talmud, he started crying. Omar, and then he said, "Ashreichem Talmidei Chachamim, Shedivrei Torah Chavivim Aleichem B'Yoser." Oh, Talmidei Chacham, they are so meritorious, they are so praiseworthy, that Torah by them is so chaviv, they don't want to even miss a drop of Chas V'Shalom, forget even one nuance. This, of course, has become a popular song that is sung very often by Simchas Torah. Shreichem, Ashreichem, Ashreichem, Talmidei Chachamim, Shedivrei Torah. Yeah.
There's no sforim to look up. There's no sforim to look up then, so it's even more important because all they could rely on was their memory. They didn't have any. They didn't have a.
It's all good.
They had no notebooks.
But they didn't have authoritative sorum they could look up where the Tosfos. Then you know
exactly
how could Yosef HaBavli know which Tosfos where the Tosfos was?
Exactly.
But they really relied on their memory then because everything was
good gezok.
Now they're loyal. on Google.
So Kara Olav said Reb Loza ben Shemua, after he finished saying Ashreichem Tamid Chachamim, that he reminded us of the famous pasuk Kara Olav Amikra Zeh Mo Ahavti Seira Sechok Kol Hayoyim Isi Chasi. Ah, my Ahava, my tremendous love for Torah. Every moment I talk about Torah, I don't talk about the Knicks, and I don't talk about the Mamdanis, and I don't talk about this Narish guy, and Nishnism. I only think and talk about Torah Tosh. Okay, so now we're not finished with the story yet. Continues on Reb Loza ben Shemua, and he says now to his Talmud, Yosef Abavli, Ha-mipnei sh'r-bihud b'noi sh'r-bi-loi, v'r-bi-loi talmida sh'r-b-lezer, Lafichach shana lecha mishnas Reb Lezer. What's going on is that Reb Loza ben Shemua is now defending what he said, that it's kosher. However, Reb Yehuda holds that it's possible. Did he say Reb Yehuda or did he say Reb Lezer? Reb Lezer holds it as possible. Thank you very much. So now, how come he didn't tell them that originally? And how come Reb Yehuda, who is a former Rebbe of Yosef HaBavli, said that it's possible? So he says, I'll tell you why. As you know, whenever it says Reb Yehuda in the Mishnah, Stam Reb Yehuda is Reb Yehuda b'Reb Eloi. So Reb Yehuda is the son of Reb Eloi. And his father Reb Eloi was a Talmud of Reb Lezer. Ah, so therefore indirectly Reb Yehuda was a Talmud of Reb Lezer. Not, he didn't learn by Reb Lezer, but he learned from his father, and his father learned from Reb Lezer. Lefichach shana lecha mishnas Reb Lezer. So it's very understandable when you heard years ago from your Rebbe, Reb Yehuda, that he said that it's possible. Why? Because he was quoting Reb Lezer, because that's what Reb Lezer holds, that it's possible. Aha. And therefore, that's why he said possible. But you should know the halacha is not regular. Reb Lezer is the miut. He didn't go into that. But he said that he's Mishnah. We don't pass him like Reb Lezer. In this case, we pass him like the Rabbanan. And that's why I told you kosher, kosher, kosher.
It's interesting because Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Huda's main teacher, was also Stenreva Lezer Ben Urkanis. So it's interesting how through Rabbi Kiva it's filtered to be kosher, but through his father it's filtered to be puzzle.
Good. Anyway, this is now the end of the Braisa. Fascinating Braisa, beautiful stories. If you think about it, you can really come to tears. We sit at the top of the Omid. Rabbi Yehuda Sovar Bahanoch Pligi, but Lohaniach, everybody holds his posel. And that's how we started today's Gemara. The Sovra Yehuda Laniach, everybody agrees that it's posel. So Ibazoi, my Hechzartli Avidosi. Iublutik Amalei. Why is Yosef Ababli so happy, smiling from ear to ear, to cause his Rebbe to start crying and to start singing Ashreichem, Ashreichem, Ashreichem? I don't know if he was singing. But, and also to quote the posel, Mahavti Tirasecha, and he was so full of his palace. Oh, Gvaldik, he didn't even tell him what he had learned previously, because he had previously learned from Rabbi Yehuda that Loniach Divri HaKoil is possible. And the only concession we're getting from Blazer and Shemua is that it's a machloikis, because until now he kept saying kosher, kosher, kosher. Finally at the end he says, oh kosher, kosher Blazer Poisel. So if that's the case, that is not going and replacing and reminding him of what Rabbi Yehuda taught years ago. It's in fact arguing with what Rabbi Yehuda taught years ago, because Rabbi Yehuda says Divya Koil Pasul, and here Rabbi Lozman Shmuel say, no, it's a machloikis. Visol Kadaitach Divya Koil Pasul is Naya. If that's what Rabbi Yehuda taught Rabbi Loi many years ago, my hechzartali avidasi iublutikamalei etem gizot, meaning now Rabbi Lozman Shmuel said it's a machloikis, and he had a Kabbalah from his father, from Rabbi Yehuda, Divya Koil Pasul. That's the kasha. You're telling me that Rabbi Yehuda said Divya Kol Pasul. From this story, it doesn't sound like that. It certainly sounds like that what Rabbi Yehuda told him would be a machloikis, because that's what Rabbi Lozim and Shemua said to his Talmud Yosef HaBavli. Elamai, so what are you going to go and tell me? The kasha v'Rabbi Lezer poisel esnaya. The word pasul is twice, so one of the two has to come out. Elamai kasha v'Rabbi Lezer poisel esnaya. That maybe what's going on is that Rabbi Yehuda, when he taught Yosef HaBavli originally, Hitaka said that it's kosher. Rabbi Lezer says, or Rabbi Lezer says, that it's possible. So in other words, that's in fact what he learned originally, that it's a machloikis, which of course it'd be shver, because we said at the top, that we are called possible. But again, in this story, it would appear that what Reb Yosef HaBavli is repeating now in the name of his Rebbe's Rebbe, his father's Rebbe, that in fact that it's a machloikis. It's a great Yara, Ihochi, Mai Ho Mipnei, Ananami Pulukta Komasninan. You see that Rabbi Elazar ben Shmuel was trying to, if you will, calm down Yosef HaBavli and explain to him, there's no distinction between what I'm telling you and what you learned previously. You should know that I hold that it's a machloikis, and your Rebbe, which or your father's Rebbe, also held that it's a machlekes. So what does he have to go and give this prefatory statement and say in this introduction? Ha mitnei, what's the reason why Rebbe Yehuda paskin that way? Because he's a son, he's not the son, he's a son of Rebbe Eloi. And Rebbe Eloi is a Talmud, Rebbe, and that's why he said that it's possible. What does he have to go and kind of give it? This type of, please forgive me that I'm telling you this, but the reason why Rebbe Yehuda paskin that way is because that's based on originally Rebbe Elazar, who was the Rebbe of his father and the whole business. And guess what? He too, Rebbe Elazar ben Shmuel, is also paskening that there is a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rebbe Elazar. And that's what he's telling him. That's what Rebbe Yehuda also said, that there's a machlokes. So he doesn't have to kind of apologize and say, oh, by the way, the reason why he said differently, he didn't say differently, we're both saying the same thing. So what is the story and what did Rebbe Yehuda really say? Eli oilam divriyakol posel isnaya. The truth of the matter is that Rabbi Yehuda, when he taught his Talmidim, such as Yosef HaBavli, said, Divri HaKoil Pasul. So now why is Yosef HaBavli saying to Blasav and Shemua, thank you for my Hechzartli Avedosi. He didn't return his Aveda, because, as you remember, Rashi said, Hechzartli Avedosi, I was afraid that I had forgotten. Apparently, you had forgotten, because of the fact that the Rebbe Yehuda had said Divri HaKoil Pasul, and now he's hearing for the first time from Elazar ben Shmuel that it's a machlokes. He shouldn't be smiling from ear to ear. He should be upset and say, I kept on thinking all these years it's Divri HaKoil Pasul, and now I hear from Elazar ben Shmuel, the God of Ador, he's telling me it's a machlokes. So he shouldn't say exactly what it does. He should be crying himself that he forgot. So Timon Anada, the Hodalei Mia Shum Paslus Bo'ilam, meaning that everybody that he's been asking, Yosef HaBavli, for the last 25 years, keeps on saying, kosher, 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 kosher. He never heard once that someone said posel. And he remembers from his father, that his father said in the name of his Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda, that what's the din? From Rebbe Yehuda. From Rebbe Elazar, thank you, that Rebbe Elazar paskin, divri akoil posel, divri akoil, divri akoil, divri akoil posel. Everybody keeps on saying, kosher, 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 kosher. The fact that I heard now from you, Rebbe Elazar ben Shmuel, that at least somebody holds that it happens to be posel, meaning Rebbe Elazar, so I feel much, much better. Phew, Baruch Hashem, at least somebody holds that it's posel. It's true. It's not that everybody holds posel, but at least somebody holds posel. Everybody kept telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about. It's kosher, kosher. It's clear from the Rambam, from Shulchan Aruch, from the Tshuvas Forum. Everywhere you go, from all the Toises and that, they're told kosher, kosher. At least now you've told me that somebody holds posel. It's like a moide b'miktsas. Baruch Hashem, at least I'm not totally berserk.
I do remember. I wasn't wrong to think that it was posel.
Exactly right. I said, why talk? Did Rabbi Yehuda say Divri HaKoil? Because since Rabbi Yehuda was learning from Rabbi Eloi, and Rabbi Eloi was learning from Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Elazar was only telling his side of the dispute, where he's saying that it's possible, so therefore Rabbi Yehuda held. No, apparently everybody must hold possible, because that's what my Tati taught me from his Rabbi, that it's possible. So even though you didn't agree that everybody holds possible, but at least you held that somebody holds possible, at least I'm not totally off my rocker, I'm not totally going deranged.
It's interesting because in modern times, yes, it's actually the reverse. Mm-hmm. Very often, we'll hear about a chumrah, mm-hmm, and there'll be generations earlier a kula, that mm-hmm, people that's kind of been smothered over the years, mm-hmm, you know, in various things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in my experience, I mean, mostly in issues of kashrus. This is, you know, we're talking the other day about Yashan and Chadash, and when did Chadash become a popular isser, as it were, in America, mm-hmm, and you mentioned it was because of DDT no longer being allowed, and it was a cool employee. But Yonason showed me on Shabbos, we were talking, he said when the Soviets put all the grain, you eliminated the sfeik sveika. Mm-hmm. That you had a suffeik, is it chadash, is it yashan? Then when the Soviets put everything became chadash in the early 70s. So that's when the Isser came in. But I remember it not even being an issue. People didn't even talk about it until then, until the mid-70s. So it's the same thing. In fact, in our lifetime, it's reversed. The previous kulas have been smothered, and now we're seeing just the chumras, as it were.
Okay.
As Rav footnote, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, when he came to Chicago, made a big roshim that should only, he said, established a Yashin bakery.
Well, I remember on Tel Aviv Bakery on Devon Avenue. I remember it. I remember it very clearly.
That's an old story. That's Yashin already. Yes,
I'm saying this, but it's just
that was at the in the end of the '60s when he came to Skokie around 1966, I believe.
Okay. Well, I remember the real problem was. When all the stores of grain, which America had, became emptied out when they sold it to the Soviets and under President Nixon, that's when this seemed to have gotten legs, as it were, this chumrah. But it's interesting how it's flipped in our time from kosher, kosher, kosher to puzzle. Now it's usser, 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 mutter.
From mutter to usser, usser, usser. Very good. Anyway, it's interesting that you bring that up. It's interesting because the Taz on Shulchan Aruch says, I don't understand how come people are not makbid on the din of Chodesh and Yashan, because after all, the halacha is in the Rambam, based on the Gemara, based on the Mishnah, that the din of Yashan and Chodesh doesn't only apply in Eretz Yisrael, it applies throughout the world, and how come people don't ask and people are not concerned? Chodesh Yitunish, Chodesh Osim and Atayra, that's what the Taz says. So my late Rosh Hashiva, Rav Paler, Zechron Lebracha, who was a brisket Talmud, said that all those people that are very makbid on davka eating yoshin, and not chodosh, they are being machmir on hilchos yoshin, but they're being mekel on hilchos toiloin. Because unfortunately, if you open up and you check very, very carefully, as the grain is held in these large bags for many, many months, unfortunately, worms tend to come in. And if you say, I davka want the old, then, unfortunately, you're being mekel on hilchos toiloin.
It's hard to go against the grain.
Hard to go against the grain, exactly. So I'm told that the reason why today this does not apply is because we have freezing and refrigeration methods where they go and take all of the tvua or all of the flour and they put it in a refrigerator or a freezer to the point that it's too cold for all the worms to appear on the scene. And so therefore today there's a much more rational basis of being makbid on yashin and not having to worry about the problem of toilam. And because of that, so I'm told, I'm not a posek, I'm not a rab, but that's what I was told, why there's a much greater hakpada today than there was years ago, because you can get and you have to ask for and look around for yashin, and you don't have to worry about the worms that you had to worry about years ago. Yeah.
In the Middle Ages, it wasn't so bad, because in one country they had a diet of worms.
They had a diet of worms.
In France.
Okay.
Well, somebody gives a share of
yashin. You have to go and buy it in large quantities, or you have to buy it from a company or from a government, whatever, that has large quantities that have been there already from before. Presumably it says on the outside of the bag that this was packaged on October, whatever, or April, whatever, and then you know whether or not it's from the old tvua or from the tvua. Because it takes a few months, obviously, for tvua to grow.
Do you know what the diet of worms was?
What was it?
That's the parliament.
The diet of worms. Thank
Luther,
you.
When
thank
he
you
was brought to appear before.
I knew that there was some deeper meaning there. Good, very good. Thank you very much for sharing that with us. And we continue on to the next Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah. There are many halachis that apply to a korban mincha, which are lichat chila. But if you forget, nishkef ferich, then not ma'akev b'diyevet. And that's what our Mishnah tells us now. Lo yotzak, lo yvolal, lo yipiseis, lo yimolach, lo yheinif, lo yhegish, oy, shepasasan, pitem, merubais, v'lo yimashchan. All of these cases, it's kosher. It's kosher b'diyevet, not lechatchila, but b'diyevet, it's kosher. So let's go over these three. We start off with lo yotzak and lo yvolal. Now, our Mishnah doesn't go into this in any great detail, but in Mi'at Hashem, when we get to Daf Ayin Hey, we're going to find that every time a person brought your normal carbon mincha, you went and mixed in the shemen at three different times. What were the three different times? Number one, even before you put the solas, that is the flour, inside the klisharis, first you went and poured in what we call Nesinas Kli, Nois Hashem B'Kli. You put Shemen inside the Kli. That was number one. Even before they put the Shemen. Even before the Solus, even before the Mincha. First, you poured in some oil. After that, then you poured in your Solus. And then there's a machlokis at one point, when did you also pour in water so that you should be able to go and mix the solus not only with the shemen, but also with water. As all of you know, when you go in baking bread or chalis or cake or whatever, you have to add some water to it too. You don't have to necessarily add shemen, but certainly you have to add water. So they always had water in your typical mincha. There was one...
To be
chametz, your matzahs also come from flour and water.
There you have to be very careful.
What do you think they did in the Beis Hamikdash? They were also. And if anything, they were even more careful because Kehanim's reason, Haim. Kehanim had tremendous alacrity and they didn't let it go and bake for more than 8 seconds, 12 seconds, 15 seconds. They knew what they were doing. Anyway, beginning back to our Gemara, so the first thing they did was they poured into the klisharis a little bit, thank you very much, some shemen, put then in the flour with or without some water. After that, they poured in another portion of shemen, and they were bolel, they did the bila, which means that they mixed the whole thing. And after they finished with the mixture, they did a final yitzika, a final whatever shemen was left. They always had to have a minimum of a loig of shemen. So that loig was basically broken down into thirds. It doesn't have to be exact thirds. But one third was what the Mishnah later on calls Nesinas Shemen Bekli. Then the second one was called the Belila, when they mixed it. And then finally there was the Yitzika. That was whatever shemen was left in the loig, you poured it out into the klisharis. So now you have all three.
So the first two is not done in the klisharis.
All three are done in the klisharis. But the first one is done even before the flour comes into the klisharis. First you pour in the shemen.
It greases the pan.
Right. It greases the pan. Good. And then you go and pour in your initial flour. Then you pour a second amount of shemen for purpose of the blila of going and mixing it up. Yeah. After you've done a great job of mixing, then you go and pour in the rest of the shemen that was in the lake.
So all three of
those. We're going to talk about that in Yad Vashem. We're going to have that on the top of the Yomid Beis.
You give everyone solace.
You get everybody solace, yeah. Okay. Anyway. And then you put the levain on. Oh, exactly. After that, you put the levain on. Very good. Shkoyach. So, lo yotzak. What happens if he didn't do that final yitzika of shemen at the very end? Lo yibolal. He didn't go and put in that middle amount of oil when you did it for the belil. In fact, lo yibolal, he didn't even mix it at all. The lo yipiseis. If you're talking about the machvas, the mincha machvas, and minchas marcheshes, you had to go and what we call crumble it. Now, mamish crumbling, we're going to talk about that shortly.
Is it mafetaner? Is it marcheshes and machves or mafetaner?
No, we're talking about here only about machves and marchesh. There's a third mission we're going to talk about later about mafetaner. But here's machves and marchesh. So what's halacha about those? You have to also be poises. Poises means you have to crumble them. Rashi points out, this is based on a Gemara later on, it's not like we think of crumbling them, that you go and take the whole thing and you make it into, you take a matzah and you make it into matzah meal, so then it becomes small little particles, almost like solas, but rather, for that you'd have solas, yeah? But rather what you do is you go and take the carbon, let's assume you talk about a machvas, where it's like a pancake, if you will, you take that pancake and then you bend it over once, and then you bend it over a second time. So therefore at this point, if you wanted to, you'd have four separate pieces of pancake. You have that first pancake, bend it over, now you have two pieces, so to speak. They're connected by the two pieces. You fold it again, you get four pieces altogether. And so what happens if he didn't do that? It wasn't poises osipitim. Or what he did was, what do you have to have that poises osipitim to be able to do a proper kmitza? He brought a very large mincha, which was 5 esrainim, 10 esrainim, or whatever, maybe even 1 esrain is also sufficient. And he did a machvas, he did a marcheshes, and now it's time to go and do the psisa for purposes of the three fingers for the kmitza. He says, well, I don't have to poises the whole thing. I can leave 70% intact, 50% intact, whatever, and I'm just going to go and take the other part, and I'm going to go and crumble it, and then I'll be able to go and take the kmitza with the three fingers. That's improper. You're supposed to pasis oisipitim. The whole thing you should go and crumble in the way we discussed it, like the pancake, and go and fold it again. But he didn't do that. He only did partially. So the Mishnah, it's still kosher.
so cautious. They didn't put him out of the fold.
They didn't put him out of the fold, right. V'loy molach. Obviously, as you know, every single korban, you had to go and put a melicha. And especially the Torah said, v'chol korban min choscha b'melach timloch. Make sure you go and put melicha on top of your korban mincha. V'loy molach, but he didn't. V'loy heinef. You have to do a tenufa on the mincha. Not all menachos, but some menachos you have to do a tenufa. When Amdavid didn't do that tenufa. Loi higish, that was your famous case. You're supposed to do a hagosha, meaning in your kli, you're supposed to take it close to the southwestern corner of the mizbeach and touch it. You'll recall that brother Barry said yesterday he has to give it a kiss. Exactly, just kiss the corner and we're done. You don't have to do anything more than that. So that's what it's called hagosha. But he didn't do it. Oi shepisison pitim merubais. So this is similar to the leipasas that we spoke about before, but before we spoke about he didn't do psisa at all on the rest of the mincha, only a part of the mincha where he did the kmitza, but the rest of it he left intact. Here, in fact, he did a psisa, but he did pita merubais. And we're going to have on the Omid Beis of Machloikis, what does merubais mean? Does that mean he crumbled it even more? In other words, instead of just folding it one into two and two into four, then he took the four and he folded it into eight, and therefore he made numerous crumbs, so to speak.
Dakim and a daka.
Dakim and a daka. Or does pita merubais mean that he didn't do it into four, he only folded it into two, and therefore the word merubo means that large pita, large crumbs, instead of smaller crumbs, he left larger crumbs. So that's going to be two pshat we'll see on the Amid base. So what happens if he did that? Kosher. V'loi mashchan. Mashchan is referring to a particular type of mincha, and this is, as you said, one of the two menaches of Mafi Taner, and what is called, it's called Rikikin, and the pasuk refers to Rikikin Matzois Meshuchim Bashamin. Here, there was a different din, that besides all the other, the Yitzikim and the Beliva, you also had to be Moshech, you had to go and smear it from the tab with Shemin. Similar to, if your wives do any baking of chalois, sometimes they go and afterwards smear it on the top with the egg or whatever they smear it. Right. And here you have to do the kubin tatsis, you also have to smear it with oil on the top.
Isn't that, I mean, kvi, like a
gamba? Good news is, and yet we're going to have mishnayis and gemaras all about this later on in our mesecht, exactly what the amount was and how they did it, and shape, and the gansamas. We'll get to that. But let's get back to the beginning of the Mishnah, and we're going to go through and explore each one, why in fact these are not ma'akev. Frey Timar, first explain to me, what means my lo yotzak? He didn't do yetzikas Hashemet. Ilema lo yotzak klal, garnish gemach, ikuva kasabah. The Torah says that it's ma'akev. Where does the Torah say that it's ma'akev? So Rashi says, either because of the fact that this din of yetzika is brought twice by Hilchos Korban Mincha, and we know by Kodshim, every time it says, Chozer Vishona HaKosef comes to tell you the Akev. In other words, if we just say it one time, okay, l'chadcha. But if I repeat it twice, I mean it. You gotta do it, it's Ma'akev. Or Rashi says, because there's another pasuk that uses the term Choik, and whenever you have the word Choik, that means it's gotta be that way. It's my way, or the highway. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, we know for a fact that is Ma'akev. So if it's Ma'akev, how does Mishnah say, Le'yotzak, your Yoitze, it's Kusher? El Yotzak means Yotzak Koyin El Zor. Instead of a Koyin doing it, a Zor did that Yitzika. Says the Mishnah, L'chad Chali, you should have a Koyin. If he did a Zor, it's Och Kusha.
It's from Kmitza Lamala is with Koyin. So this Yitzika we're talking
about.
We're
going to talk about that in Mietzash. I'm going to get to that. Frank Dimari, Hochi Leibolal Nami. Why don't you say the same thing in the Mishnah when it says Leibolal? Are you going to learn the same way too? The Leibolal Koyin El Zor. That a Kohen didn't do it. A Zor did it, and it's kosher. So let's be medayik from that. It's dafka because a bila was done. It wasn't done the way you're supposed to with a Kohen. It was done with a Zor, it's kosher. It's like Masha Halei Bolal Klal. What happens if he didn't do a bila at all? It's Masha would be possible. It's only because he did it with a Zor that it's kosher. But nothing. If he didn't do bila at all, it's possible. Ay, Vatnan. And now the famous memra that Brother Shai was urging us to remember. We shouldn't forget, like Yosef Ababli was nervous about forgetting. So he was reminding us of this famous din of Rab Zera. But tonight we learned in the Mishnah. Shishim nivlolim. Shishim the echad ein nivlolim. Meaning that you can go and bring a very, very large korban mincha, although the minimum is an isorain of flour, but you can go and bring up 10 isorainim, and you can bring 20, you can bring up to 60 in one kli. However, do not bring 61 in one kli. 61 esroinim. You're taking isorain, whatever Isorin is. Let's assume
43
eggs. 43 eggs. So do 60 times 43. How much do you get? A little bit over 2,400, right? 60 times 40 is 2,400. So this will net. So can you imagine 2,400 eggs volume? We're not talking about eggs, we're talking about the volume of eggs. And now that's a huge, huge amount. And you're trying it to be boiled, you're trying to go and mix it. So nowadays they have something called, I think, a Bosch mixture, a mixer, or similar types of mixers like that.
Debel
also?
What do you call it?
What do you call
it? LA giver, let me find Deb.
Debel. Okay, good, whatever. Anyway, they have these famous new mixers today, and they're...
I'm sorry, egg beaters. That's already ready, you just add water.
Sorry. No, you don't, Frank, that's very good. Thank you for enhancing our knowledge and enriching us.
And a commercial. Yeah.
And a commercial too, yeah. Okay, anyway, the point is that up to 60, if you mix with that oil...
One log.
Well, we're going to talk about that in a moment. And you mix together with that oil, up to 60, it mixes, quote-unquote, well. Once you get to 61, einav lalam, it does not mix well. It's just too much. It's just too overwhelming for the shemen. How much shemen did you go and add to these 60 esrainim? Is a machloikis. Rashi brings a machloikis between Reb Lezer ben Yaakov and the Rabbanan. Couldn't Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, you always stay with one loig shemen. So therefore, one loig with one isarin, one loig with 10 esrainim, one loig with 30 esrainim, it's still, you can go and blend it and you can mix it. It's a very small amount of shemen, relatively speaking, but it can be done. Up to 60. Once you get to 61, it all, it's as good. That's one shot, Rashi says. Even according to the Rabbanan, that you keep on adding another loig as you add another isarain. So if you have 60 esroinim of flour, you have 60 loigim of shemen. Up to that, you can still mix it nicely. Once you get to 61 and 61, it just becomes just too much.
Unwieldy.
Overwhelming. Ah, so therefore, shishim nevlam, shish be'echad, ein nevlam, and therefore do not bring a korban of 61 esrain, and bring 60 esrain. You want to bring a 60 first, then bring a separate korban, but not in the same kli together. Okay. So we asked when we learned that Mishnah, 61 ein nevlam, who cares? Ki einam nevlam, I have a vatanan. Didn't we learn loy bolal ksher? Even if it would not boil at all, it's kosher. So, but the evidence is kosher anyway, so why 61? No. Oh, the famous brother Shai the Amr Reb Zeira, Kala Roy Le Bila Ein Bela Bila Ma'akevis Bay. Because Ein Roy Le Bila Bila Ma'akevis Bay. It only has to be Roy Le Bila. So from 1 to 60, it's Roy Le Bila. You can mix it, even if you didn't. B'diavad Lo Bala, it's still kosher. However, once it gets to 61, where it becomes unwieldy, impossible, etc., then Ein Roy Le Bila Bila Ma'akevis Bay. Then the Bila, in fact, is Ma'akev. So now we have finished that discussion. Getting back to our Mishnah, what was the kasha? Just like when it says lo yotzak, we said it doesn't mean there was no yitzik at all. Yitzik is ma'akid. So it means lo yotzak yidei koyin, but al yidei zar. So we assume that the same thing is referring to lo yibala. That lo yibala al yidei koyin, it was bala al yidei zar. Is a chmashma that if no one did the bila, then it would be basel. What do you mean it's basel? Brother Shai and Reb Zeira, apishnayim edim yokum dover. Both of them say very clearly, as long as it's royal bila, ain bila ma keves boy. And for the more, you're 100% right. Me the iria, you jump to conclusions. Hakida isa vahakida isa. The two cases, although they're one next to each other in the Mishnah, are not on all fours. They're not exactly the same. Lo yotzak means lo yotzak koyin el zor. Lo yibolal doesn't mean lo yibolal koyin el zor. Lo yibolal klal. If you didn't do a bila at all, says our Mishnah, it's still kosher. Because Reb Zeira said, and the other Mishnah said, as long as it's royal bila, it's kosher. Good. So we concluded that here. Yes?
I want to say Isaron,
you heard decisively from Bill, 43.2 eggs.
Which is the same as an omer.
As an omer, right. Vo'aymer asira sa'eifahu, and asira sa'eifa is an Isaron. Exactly. Very impressive. Okay. Oh, yishipasasa pitim merubois ksherim. So now, how did we learn our Mishnah? That he didn't do a proper psisa, either large pieces, small pieces. It's still kosher. So, Frey Timara, of course it's kosher. You said earlier in the Mishnah, Hashalei Pasis Klal. If you didn't do psis at all, it's kosher. So pitam rubis mi boy, if you did an imprecise pitam, too money, too small, too big, too, but at least you did something. So that you're going to go and tell me possibly is possible. Versteh, al ach is kama vikama, it's kosher, because at least you did something. So madach le pasis. Oh, so le pasis klal is kosher, pitam rubis mi boy. And the more might be to Merubis, Shariba Bipsisim. What means Riba Bipsisim? He made too many Psisim. Rashi says, Shaposasa Yoisim Idai. This is now your famous expression called Yeser Kenotel Dami. Well, mainly he didn't do any Psis at all. But if you're doing a Psisa, do it properly. You're supposed to do it 1 into 2 and then 2 into 4, and he did it into 8 into 16 into 24. He crumbled it up, small little, nah, that's just toidnish. That's not what the Torah wants. So kedai to chamina that would be possible. Kamash walan, it's kosher. The boy same la oilam pita merubais mamish. Merubis mamish means big pitam. Umau the same hosim who the ikka turis chalis alein. The reason why, if he didn't do psis at all, at least we've retained the original lashon of chalis. In other words, whatever it was, whether it was a machvas, whether it was a marcheshes, at least it retained its original status as being the korban mincha. Here we did a partial psisa, for instance, not 2 into 4, but he only did 1 into 2. The loiteris chalasika, you no longer have those pristine original chalas that you had, meaning those original machvas or marcheshes matzois. But like psoriteris psisimika, he also didn't do a good job because he only did halfway. So I would have thought, so nishta hin and nishta her, it's your kareach mikan, the kareach mikan. It's neither a pristine, beautiful mincha, nor is it pristine, beautiful psisim. It's somewhere in the middle. So I might have thought that's possible. Kamash malon, even such a case, it's all tzakusha. Fine. Zoktimar, leim masnisen. Now that we've explained the Mishnah a little bit, let us say that our Mishnah is the loik Reb Shimon. Where is Reb Shimon? The sign of Reb Shimon Oima. Kol koyin she'enem moide ba'avoide, ein loy chelik b'kohuna. Any koyin that does not believe in the avoid. When we say doesn't believe in the avoid, it means he doesn't believe that whatever we're doing, the Beis Hamikdash, was commanded by the Rabbeinu Shalom to Moshe Rabbeinu. But rather he says, Moshe Rabbeinu bodo mi liboy. Moshe Rabbeinu thought this would be a fascinating experience every single day to bring an oilas tumet shel shachar, an oilas tumet shel ben aboyim, and we should do the k'toyres, and we should be mak to the k'toyres and be madik the menorah. I'm sorry, Nachum. For tourists, yeah, exactly. We do it for tourist attraction, yeah?
Of course, basically. Yeah, basically,
not because.
Why isn't Katoris and Katoris?
Katoris. Ah, okay, good. Brother Shai, you're gonna hook up, yes?
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Nicham Tony, Bini Nicham Tony. Anyway, she's just. If he doesn't believe in the avoider, that it's avoider Hashem, he's not entitled to get any matnois kahuna. When he stands in line and he wants to go and get truma, or when he stands in line in the Beis Hamikdash, he wants to get a portion of the kabbanis, we throw him out the door and we say, you're not bikoyrus, we don't give you. Shenema, it's in the pasuk, a makrib is damash lom v'sachedlam nei aharoin. If you're a b'nei aharoin that you believe in and you are participating in being makrib the tlam and the chaylam, lo yisiyah sheikam yom in the mona, then he goes and gets a chaylik. Moide b'avoida, yesh loy chaylik b'kuhuna, sheina moide b'avoida, ein loy chaylik b'kuhuna. So far, that's halacha number one of Reb Shimon, which so far has nothing to do with us. However, we continue on the braisa. Ve'ein li elezubel v'od. I might have thought this might only apply to the previous pasuk, with the dam hashlamim, with the chelav, that he doesn't get a chelik in the shoik, the shoik of the shlamim, right? You get chos of a shoik, he doesn't get a piece, because he's not moed b'avoida. Eimi al zubavod, minayin l'rabbis, how do we know the next 10 test vov avoidas, the next 15 avoidas? And as you'll see, many of them are referring to our korban mincha. And that is hayitzikois, the pouring, v'hablilois, the mixing, v'hapsisois, making into crumbs, viha melichois, adding salt to it, vatenufois, those kabbanis that you have to do at tenufa, like the minchas oimer you have to do, and the shtei halechem, tenufa means you have the wave offering, vagoshes that you have to bring it to the corner of the mizbeach, vakmitzas that you have to go and take a kmitza, vaktoris you have to be makter on the marocha, vamelichois, obviously we're leaving now menochis, and now we're talking about oifois, that you do a malika, vakabolis, the kabbalis adam, vazois, and you have to do the spritzing of the blood, especially the fnai velefnim, etc. Mahashkoes soita, that you go and give the soita to drink. Varifas egla, that you ma'arav the egla. If you don't know about chol ba'adoma, you don't know mihiko, then you have to go to the closest town and you go and do the egla rufa, etc. Vitaras metzoira, the three different kabbonis that the Mitzrayim has to bring, and then you have to put the dam on the behoinois and on the oizen, and then you have to put the shemen, etc. Unasiyas kapayim, he doesn't believe in dichanan, bein mibethnim, bein mimbachutz, sai inside the base of Mikdash, sai outside the base of Mikdash. How do I know minayin that he also does not, he's not entitled to get matlis kahuna because he doesn't believe in any one of these 15 avoidas? Minayin, tamaloyim, it says in the pasuk, the quote pasuk that we just quoted a moment ago, Hamakrib is Damashlom is Achid Mnei Aharoi. Avoida Mesura Bnei Aharon. Any type of avoida that's handed over to Bnei Aharon, in other words, that Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Moshe said to the Kahanim, these are your avoidas. Okay. So, what does that have to do with all of us? So, you see from this that Yitzik is an avoider. That was the first of the 15. Hayitzikos. These are 15 avoiders. And if a kohen is not moide boy, he's like, as you say, an apikoides, and he's not entitled to go and get any matnois kahuna. So if it's a real avoider, that means avoider, it's osir bizarre. So how does it say in our Mishnah that if the kohen didn't do the yitzika, but has already did the yitzika, it's kusha? Yeah. No, maybe it's not kusha, because of the fact that this was Mesrul ben Aharon, and therefore it's got to be done dafka by a kohen. It really depends what type of carbon mincha we're talking about. Minchas Yisrael debask mitzehi. By Minchas Yisrael, as we know, what's the fundamental difference between a Minchas Yisrael and a Minchas Koyin? Mincha Yisrael.
Minchas Koyin is Shirayim Ar'in, Minchas Koyin is Kulukolo.
Exactly. So Minchas Yisrael, the Shirayim Ar'in, in other words, after you put the kmitza on the Mizbech and you put the Levoina on the Mizbech, all the Shirayim are eaten by the Kahan. And they have to be eaten by Azara because it's Kodesh Kodashim. He, it's Kodesh Kodashim.
That's our discussion.
Yeah. What happens if you're talking about a Minchas Koyin? Minchas Koyin is Kul Kolol on the Mizbeach because Kul Kolol, there is no Kemitza. No Kemitza by the Minchas Koyin. Ah, so therefore says Yimar. Omer Nachal, Loikash. Kam Minchas Koyin, Kam Minchas Yisrael. Minchas Yisrael, the Bas Kemitza, you have to put the Kemitza on. Mi Kemitza Ve'elech Mitzvahs Kehuna. Starting from the Kemitza and further, this is what you were touching on in the Mishnah, and I told you we're going to get to it in the Gemara. No Baruch Hashem. So from the time of the Kemitza and further, that's when it becomes Mitzvahs Kehuna. How do I know? If you want to just put your finger here and then go down to the last three lines of the Amud over here, it says at the end of the third line, Amakra, V'yotzak Oleh Hashem, you do the Yitzika, V'nosan Oleh Levoina, V'yviya El B'nei Aharna Koyin V'komatz, Mikmitza ve'elech mitzvahs kahuna, Masha Enkein, the Yitzika, and then the Sinas Levoina, and all of that that preceded the Kemitza, Limit al Yitzika, believe it's a Ksheri Bizarre. That answers your question that you asked.
Yeah, but we said in the Mishnah that Yitzika we're talking about is Yitzika Achrona, which is after the Kemitza.
No, it's all after.
So Rashi said, you even pointed out, Rashi said in the Mishnah, Yitzika Achrona.
It's true.
So that's certainly after the Kemitza.
I know, it's before the Kemitza, my good friend. You first put in the Shemen Nesinas, Shemen Bikli, that's right. The initial. Right. You put now the flour in. Right. After you put the flour in, you add some more Shemen, and you do a Bila. Right. Now that it becomes nicely bolul, you say, oh, they did a really nice dough, he did a great job. Right. You do your final Yitzika.
Now you do the Kemitza, thank you.
After that, you add your Levoina, and you say, Koyin Zamoichel, please come over. Are you finished with doing all the three times Shemen? Yes, I did it. Did you put in a Levoina? Yes, okay, now I'm available. Push aside the Levoina, takes the Kemitza with the three fingers. That's okay, no problem, everything is great. So anyway, so Kasha, come Minchas Koyin, come Minchas Yisrael. Minchas Yisrael, the Bas Kemitzi, you do have to have Kemitza. The Kemitza of Eilach Mitzvahs Kehuna, Limit al Yitziko, believe it, Shekshere Bezor, because that preceded the Kemitza of the coin. Minchas Kehuna, La Bas Kemitzi, the Nishtoka Kemitza, is Meikara Bayikuna, then you need a coin from the very outset. Don't need a koyin later on in the process, but from the very beginning you need a koyin. Oh, so therefore our Mishnah could stim like Reb Shimon after all. When did Reb Shimon say that if you're not moideba like the Yitzikos and the whole thing would be possible, etc.? That's talking about if it's Minchas Koyin. Minchas Koyin, since there is no din of Kemitza, from the very outset you put the thing in, then it's already Mitzvahs Kehuna Olav, and if you're going to give it to Zohar, the whole thing will be possible. However, in our Mishnah, we're talking about a Minchas Yisrael. Minchas Yisrael, it's only Mikmitzvah Eilach. Anything prior to that, like the Hagosha, and like the Nesina Shemen, and the Bila, and the Yitzik, and all that, it's all wonderful stuff, but it's not Ma'akev, and it doesn't have to be done by a Koyin. Amli Rava. Rava says, I don't really feel good about that teretz that you just gave now, Rav Nachman. because mechde minchas kehanim mehecha is rabbi liyitzika. When it comes to minchas kohen, it doesn't even talk about in the Torah that you have to do yitzika. But rather, I learn it minchas Yisrael. I learn it from some sort of gzeira shava, or because they're all zayis teras hamincha. We're going to learn about this more in Yechem and Daf Ayin Hey. We learn one from the other minchas kohen that you need yitzika. I'm learning from minchas Yisrael, and so therefore the Gemara is assuming like you have. What is it saying in Gemara? Mineu minei, and not v'uki ba'asrei.
Right, right, right.
But rather,
right.
And they're learning from Minchas Yisrael, and therefore Ma'hosam Ksheira Bizar. You just told us Minchas Yisrael is Kosher Bizar, because that precedes the Kemitzah, so it's Kosher. Avachanami Ksheira Bizar. See, here too it's Kosher Bizar. Therefore, why are you telling me that Minchas Koin is different because there's no Kemitzah, and here the Yitzika is Ma'akiv, it has to be Dafka Mitakoin. The whole Makar of Yitzika I learned from Minchas Yisrael. And just like over there, it's Kosher Bizar. Over here, it should also be Kosher Bizar. Ikadiyami, there's another version of this discussion between Rav Nachman and Rava, and as you'll see, it's kimat the same. Ikadiyami, Om Rav Nachman, loikasha kan b'nik matzois, kan b'sha ein nik matzois. Those menachos where you have to do a kemitzah, what's the din by them? Then anything prior to the kemitzah is Kosher Bizar. Anything which is ein nik matzois is not Kosher Bizar. So you're saying to yourself, so what's the difference between the two pshatim? I mean, that was the whole...
Right. The Lashon is the only thing that's different, but not the material consequence.
So one could have thought, right. Says Rashi, no, we add one more knech. What's that one more knech? That according to the first Rav Nachman, he said that the distinction is between Minchas Kehana and Minchas Yisrael. Now in the second Lashon, since he says Nikmatzis, ain't Nikmatzis, besides the Minchas Kehana, there's another Mincha which is not Nikmatz. What is that? That's the minchas nisachim that you bring every day together with your oila and with your shlomim. You have to bring an additional mincha. That mincha was also kula kol, also ein nikmatzich. So have the same halacha. So lemaisa, both tirutzim and both discussions are the same, but in the first lashon of Nachman only referred to the minchas kehanim, and according to the second lashon he's referring to minchas kehanim together with the minchas nisachim. Okay, Amalei Rav and Rav ask again the same kasha. Mechdi she'ein nikmatzis mehecha is Rabbi Litzika. How do you know Litzika? Minikmatzis. Kinikmatzis. Mahosam ksheira bizar avkalchinami ksheira zar. And so therefore, l'choy the teretz that Rav Nachman tried to give according to either Lashon doesn't work. Elamachvad masit loy Krib Shimon. L'choy the Mishnah does not go like Krib Shimon after all. Because according to Krib Shimon, if a zar were to go and do the Litzika b'lila, whether it's Minchas Koyim, Minchas Yisrael, Minchas Esachim, makes no difference. It would all be Pasul Bizar according to Reb Shimon. The fact that our Mishnah said it's Kosher Bizar because it's a Machlokes. Sorry?
Our Mishnah is not like Reb Shimon.
Not like Reb Shimon. Okay. Now the question, my time, the Rabbanan, where, how did the Rabbanan say that is Kosher Bizar? Of course, like we said before, Omakra. V'yotzak aleh Hashemen, v'nosam aleh levoina, v'hevi'a b'nei ahar nakoy, and they come at misham v'loi komtzai, me'kemitzah v'eilach, mitzis kohuna, limit al yitzika u'belila, and anything prior to the kemitzah, shekshere bizar. And that would apply to yitzika, which is the final putting of the shemen, but it certainly refers to the original scene of shemen b'kli, and to the bila, and to the yitzika, and to the levoina, everything prior to kemitzah is all kesher bizar. What does Reb Shimon do about this? Reb Shimon, b'nei harna kihanim, mikra nidrish lefanav uli achrav. What does that mean? Let's go back to this pasuk again. V'yotzak alei Hashemen, v'nosan alei levoina, v'evi'al b'nei harna koyin, and then the komatz misham alei kumtzai. So the way you normally learn it, you know, pashut in cheder, v'evi'al b'nei harna koyin, now you bring it to b'nei harna, and what do they do? Then they do the kmitza with the fingers. Havad. Everybody agrees to that. The question is, can you interpret the pasuk even lefanav? Meaning that v'yotzak alei Hashemen, v'nosan alei levoina, you know who did that. Those have been a harna kehanim that you had to go and bring it to them.
The next
pasuk. I'm sorry, what's
in the next pasuk? You're going to bring it to them in the next pasuk, so they have to do it now. And it's bays is the pasuk in Torah Shalom.
Okay, so let's go to the pasuk over here. The nefesh kisakrib kavim mincha number two or in bays. The nefesh kisakrib kavim mincha l'Hashem. So this year kabbanu v'yotzak l'Hashem and nasam l'elavoina. They veal b'nei harna kehanim. He brings to me harna kehanim. They come to me shama leikum tzay misol to me shama al kol v'nasu v'hikter akoy. Fine. So as you say, so the second pasuk which follows right after the first pasuk, says it's so this year kabbanu v'yatzak l'Hashem and v'nasu l'elavoina. Who is the one that does that? They veal b'nei harna kehanim. It's b'nei harna kehanim that do that, and they also do become to me shama. They also do the kmitza. So that's the lashon imor mikrish nidrish fun of uli achrav that we're darshening. That the B'nei Harna Kehanim is not only starting from the Kemitzah, but even on the earlier part of the pasuk. Frank Timur, the Savari, Shimon, Mikra, Nidish, Lefanov, Liachra, Votanya, to be continued in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow.